Today's readings tell of the suffering of the prophet Jeremiah, who announced God's words to Judea, but was met with intense opposition and persecution. Jeremiah continues to trust in God in the midst of his suffering. The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 11. It was the Lord who made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me with their evil deeds, but I was a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. And I did not know it was against me that they devised schemes, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will no longer be remembered. But you, O Lord of hosts, who judged righteously, who tried the heart and the mind, let me see your retribution upon them. For you and I have committed my cause. The word of the Lord. God is my helper. It is the Lord who sustains my life. Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by your name. In your might, defend my cause. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and the ruthless have sought my life. Those who have not regard for God. Behold, God is my helper. It is the Lord who sustains my life. Render evil to those who spy on me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will offer you a freewill sacrifice and praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For you have rescued me from every trouble, and my eye looks down on my enemies. The word of the Lord. The wisdom God gives unites our hearts and minds. Instead of living to satisfy our own wants and desires, we manifest this wisdom in peace, wise, and understanding among you. Show your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful, but false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness in every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it. So you commit murder, and you covet something and cannot attain it. So you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent. For on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated.
Good morning. Let us pray. Holy God, we confess to you that at times, like Jeremiah, we face opposition and difficulty in our lives. Help us to be docile like sheep, trusting in the power of your resurrection and your righteousness. Help us to sow peace. And we thank you for the gift of the forgiveness of our sins and the salvation from death and the gift of eternal life. Amen. The prophet Jeremiah, whose words we read in our first lesson today, really had a tough go of things. He was part of the company of prophets in Jerusalem before Jerusalem was conquered by Babylon. So the company of prophets were a joyful group that would spend time together. They would study the scriptures, they would be in prayer, and they would give messages to the rulers and the people about how to live as God would want them to live. Now, the prophets didn't always agree with one another, and that was okay, because the prophets understood that maybe the word of God fell on someone in a different way, and so they would argue among themselves, even though they were all following God. Of course, that never happens today. We all agree on everything, right? So Jeremiah gets this word of the Lord, and it's a tough one. The word that comes to Jeremiah is that something really bad is going to happen. This empire known as Babylon and their mighty warrior king, Nebuchadnezzar, they're coming, and they are going to lay Jerusalem low. They're going to raise the city to the ground. And Jeremiah gives this word and he says, we all need to repent. We need to submit ourselves to God. And at this point, there is no way getting out of this. So we need to prepare for the worst. And the more that Jeremiah gave this message, the more that the company of prophets turned on him and said, you are a man of little faith, Jeremiah. And the other prophets would say to the king and the people of Jerusalem, don't listen to Jeremiah. He's a worrywart. He's an alarmist. He is looking at things without any faith at all. Other prophets said, God has chosen Jerusalem to be his seat. If we are faithful to God and we don't worry, then we will all be okay. And to add insult to injury, they took Jeremiah. They whipped him, they beat him, they threw him in jail, they tied him up, and he was relentless. He kept preaching God's word as he heard it from prison, from bondage. And history, who did history prove right? Jeremiah? Yeah. Within Jeremiah's lifetime, Babylon came and completely conquered the city, sacked the temple, burned it to the ground, enslaved the king and all of the rulers, and led them off to Babylon, to what we call the exile. Now, when Jeremiah was being attacked for the words that he shared, we have this passage that we read this morning, and thank you, Connie, for reading it. Jeremiah says at the beginning of the verse that it became known to him that there were people conspiring against him. But rather than get angry and to create a situation where there was fighting, he said, I became like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. Why would he do that? I don't think that Jeremiah was being passive or weak. I think he was being strategic. There's great wisdom in being calm and letting the truth and reason carry the day rather than just raising our voice when we want to try to get our point across. And this is the same type of wisdom that James shares to us today in our portion from the letter of James. James is addressing a similar situation when there's conflict, when people aren't getting along, and even when, you know, there's a loss. Sometimes because of situations that happen in life, we lose people, they move away. You know, there was a dear family of our church that we lost because of COVID. They didn't get sick, anything else. They left. They moved to New Mexico. Well, I have some good news to report. I was talking to Emily last week, and she is attending St. Timothy's Lutheran Church, and I congratulated her on getting plugged into a faith community, and she has transitioned from working in academics. She was a biology professor at Chaffey, and now she works in the biomedical industry, and she's pretty happy. One of the things I appreciated about Emily when she was here was she always encouraged me and others to go with her to workshops in Los Angeles by the Reverend Dr. James Lawson. He is a United Methodist preacher, and he is attached to a church in Adams, the Adams neighborhood of Los Angeles. But the thing about Dr. James Lawson is that he was the intellectual architect that walked side by side with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Some people said that Martin Luther King Jr. wouldn't have been the person that he was without Dr. James Lawson. Martin Luther King Jr. was the powerful preacher, perhaps the greatest preacher that has ever preached in America, but Dr. Lawson, as I mentioned, was the intellectual by his side. And Dr. Lawson continues to give workshops on nonviolence. And again, their philosophy is not that nonviolence is a passive, weak thing, but it's an active thing. It's a strategic thing that any of us can use and should use. Jesus used it. Other people have used it throughout time. And what makes it so effective is it is truly how we love our enemy. When we feel drawn into a conflict or a disagreement, or perhaps somebody says something to us that is hurtful, the approach that Dr. Lawson teaches out of the Bible is, if you were to give it a couple words, it would be active listening. Sometimes when we're drawn into an argument and we want to convince somebody of our point, we try to think of maybe ways of, like a chess game, you know, try to corner them or get them to see the conflict in their ways. And Dr. Lawson and others say, no, don't do that. And I would say James in our reading says the same thing. Don't do that. Everyone's just going to get heated and we're not going to listen. Instead, do active listening. Let people speak. Listen. Listen, ask questions, not questions that hurt or sting, but questions that allow people to go deeper into their own minds and to examine the things that they are saying. And where faith comes in, because as Lutherans, we believe that we're saved by grace through faith and not by our works, is that you don't actually have to work that hard with someone you disagree with. You just show them God's love and you listen and ask those questions. And eventually, the person, including yourself, all people, talk ourselves into a more peaceful and just position. Let me say that again, that when we give people the space to speak and we try our best to listen and ask questions, people will talk themselves into changing their minds. And Dr. Lawson has story after story where he would meet with maybe an avowed member of the KKK, an avowed person that really thought that white supremacy was the truth, and rather than arguing with them, he would say, well, tell me why you think that. Tell me more. Tell me about your childhood. What happened to you? Did something, you know, just... And by doing this, people would talk themselves into a different place. That's what James means in our reading today when he says, draw close to God and God will draw close to you. Resist the devil and the devil will flee. Again, being an active listener is not passive. It is resisting evil. It is resisting hate with love. Love. Love for our neighbor, love for ourselves, love for our enemy, which Jesus told us to do and modeled with his own life. It can be scary to do this. It can be scary if someone is coming at you with hate. In fact, we shouldn't kid ourselves that it's going to be easy. Jesus, in our gospel reading this morning, it says he took the disciples aside because he wanted to have some time just to be with them. They crossed through Capernaum and they didn't want anyone to know they were there. And it specifically says because he wanted like a retreat with them. We don't want the crowds and everyone. No, I just want the 12, said Jesus, so I can teach you. And what he taught them is that he would die. He would be crucified and he would die, but that 3 days later, he would resurrect. And that's what faith is all about. That's what the gospel is all about. That it's not really about how strong we are or how clever we are, but about God's power to give eternal life, to love us unconditionally, to make new life sprout and grow where there has been destruction. To make his point, Jesus welcomed a child into their midst. And Jesus took the child and he gently, it says he picked the child up in his arms and he says, whoever welcomes one of these children in my name welcomes me. Think about the tender, loving care that we show children. Jesus is saying that's that same type of love we ought to share with everybody in our lives, including ourselves. Recognizing that each and every one of us within us is a child, that child that we once were. So one of the things that I do as a pastor throughout the week is I test my sermon material on people. And you know this. You know if you've ever said, hey, pastor, let's have lunch, or hey, pastor, I'd like to talk to you. You know that I'll oftentimes bring with me a bulletin and I'll say, hey, let's read this. And I'll kind of ask what people think and maybe share something. And I appreciate it when you do that with me during the week. It does help the preparation and it helps me to know what everyone is thinking. One of the groups I do this with every week is our preschoolers. Our preschoolers with Miss Gail and her wonderful staff and our 50 or so preschoolers. let me be clear. We do not have 50 preschoolers per day. We have 29. But throughout the course of a week, there's a total of 50 approximately preschoolers. And so I'll do chapel with the preschool throughout the week, and I will test my sermon material on them. And boy, I got to tell you, if the preschoolers are honest, they let me know if it makes sense or not. You all are much more nice. You listen. The preschoolers will say, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. So this past week, I was sharing with our preschoolers the idea that Jesus said, whoever welcomes a child welcomes me. And I had this all ready to go, and we were outside right out there doing our preschool chapel Wednesday morning. And I was saying the words that whenever we encounter a child, it's like we're encountering Jesus. And as I said the words, I kid you not, the children just started getting up and causing pandemonium. They were climbing up the fence. They were climbing under the bench. They were weaving into the bushes. I had never seen it before. Normally, they are a very obedient group. But the one day that I say that we can experience the very presence of Jesus in children, they are out of control. And the teachers are tending to the children, and they're trying to look at me and be polite and nod. And I just thought, what is this? What is God trying to tell me here? Well, I think what God is trying to tell me is that it's not easy to experience Jesus in your life. Children are not always easy. Adults are not always easy. Jesus isn't saying, hey, this is going to be all unicorns and cupcakes and rainbows. Encountering Jesus can be quite an experience, but it's well worth it. We got through our chapel that day on Wednesday. And then we had chapel again the next day on Thursday. And I thought to myself, what am I going to do? Do I have to change the message? But I thought, no, I really think this is, it's right here. Jesus said it. I can't change it. So there we were, Thursday morning, 24 hours late. The children sat perfectly, crisscross applesauce, listening. And right as I opened the Bible and began to teach the Word of God, one of the teachers, Miss Margie, said, Pastor Wesley, there's a worm right there. And I went, what? And sure enough, to my left, outside on the concrete, was this worm in the middle of the concrete slab, and it was struggling. And I said, oh, well, Miss Margie, would you help me save the worm? And she said, yes. And so she got up, and all the children got up too, because they wanted to see the worm. And they went over and they got the worm and they put it into the nice cool soil under a bush so it could crawl down. And then everyone sat down again and was perfectly quiet. And it would have never been easier. All I had to say was, just like we cared for that worm, the lowly worm, the lowest of all creatures, Miss Margie saw the worm and saved it and saw it as one of God's precious creatures. When we do that, we experience Jesus in our lives. When we see the value and the worth of all of God's living things, especially the small ones, we experience Jesus in our lives. We experience God's resurrection and eternal life. Jesus is making time for you. Jesus wants to teach you profound wisdom. Jesus is ready to be welcomed into your life. Jesus comes to you in the children. Jesus comes to you in worms, in trees, in small creatures, and in the humble. Amen. We sing our hymn of the day, You Are Mine. Please stand as you are able, hymn 581.